It's just tremendous, and it's a great movie, and I freaking love it, but it makes me laugh every time we play it. That I'm like, Hollywood went, yep, let's do this.
It's Hollywood. What else do you expect? Come on. They make bad decisions all the time, but this wasn't one.
No, this was a tremendous idea.
So anyway, we will bring in Tim May from Letterman Row here in just a second. I don't know if you had a chance to catch any of the game. Did you watch any of the Pitt-Syracuse game last night?
I did not. We had I had family from town out of state, so.
So, you know, we're flipping through the channels last night, and I'm just like, and Tropical Storm's like, Dad, I want to watch Syracuse. They're playing tonight. I was like, oh, okay, let's go watch it. So all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. Is that the same Kyle McCord that played quarterback for Ohio State? I mean, he had four picks, what, the first half. They were down 17-0 early on. Then they give up another 14 in the second, and McCord ends up, you know, rallying for 13 points last night. Pitt looked good last night. Pitt's 7-0. 19th in the country. I got to be honest, I'm not a huge Syracuse fan. The only thing I ever really liked from Syracuse was Jim Brown. So I'm not a big Syracuse fan.
What about like Andrew Siciliano? He's a Syracuse guy.
I like Andrew too, but I mean, can we be honest?
What about our guy Matt Derry? We love Matt. Matt is awesome.
I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but most of the broadcast students that come out of there, they're a little arrogant. They are. Because they're taught this whole thing about, well, if you take a job in anything below market 100, especially for television, you're a failure. Like, I actually had a kid that was trying to intern. Or no, actually trying to get a job with us. And he was like, where'd you start your career? I was like, hey, I went out to Montana, man. I loved it. I had a great time out there. It was fun. And he's like, oh, what market is that? I was like, 170-something. He was just like, oh. And he looked at me like I was a complete failure. And I was just like, wait a second. Who's hiring who here? And I was like, see you later. And so for some reason, and like he had said to me, he goes, well, our professors at Syracuse told us that if we can't land in a market above, you know, 100 when we graduate, we're complete failures. I'm like, oh my God, please. I was like, send your kid to Kent. Send your kid to Ohio University. Send your kid to Bowling Green. That's what I would say.
Oh, but yeah.
Don't waste your money. And then you see people like, I mean,
like Tirico
or Anthony Lima, you know,
yep.
I mean, but Tirico's good. Like Tirico's humble.
Well, so is Anthony Lima.
I've met plenty of folks from Syracuse that just aren't humble at all in our business. And for some reason, they, you know, they do have a good media school. Go to Northwestern. Right? Northwestern turns out unbelievable journalists and all that. So anyway, but Syracuse last night, that's more the point, is that they got throttled by Pitt last night. 41-13. Ohio State jumps back on the field tomorrow. Man, it feels like it's been a long time since that Oregon game. It was a great football game against the number two and number three teams in the country. And, like, I can get over it knowing what the college football playoff is. Like, I got to be honest, when I watch promos during some of these games and I see that bracket where they fly it out on the screen, you're like, oh, 12 teams, college football playoff, man.
Awesome.
I love it. Every bit of it. The thought of a team from down south maybe having to come up north for a playoff game. it's our biggest college football dream we've ever had. It was like, well, these SEC schools, man, you know, they play in great weather and they never, I'd love to see them come up north late in the season, have to play a game. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You are going to get to see that this
but
year,
more than
I hope.
Anything else, you can drop a game, like the Oregon game, for example. You could drop that game and you're
but
not
that's
dead.
Not, it's not a
you're not
bad
gone.
Loss.
You're not gone. No, you lost to the number one team in the country right now. Like, that's the best part of this, is you are no longer toast when you lose a game. Your season isn't over when you lose a game. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, we dropped one. We're going to be all right. I mean, Texas dropping, you know, running into that. To that. Alabama now is on the bubble because they lost two. But even that one, you can make some case for them to still be in there. Like, nobody is complete and totally gone that you would want to be complete and totally gone. Outside of maybe Notre Dame. Notre Dame might be the one that's on the outside looking in. But, yeah, that's the best part of this playoff. I am all in on a 12-team playoff. And the other one I'm all in on, Andy, I think you said it on Monday, and I'll reiterate it. These people calling for Ryan Day's head right now?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's silly. It's flat-out silly. You lost a football game in a 12-team playoff. And maybe this is the better question of this, and maybe it's like the recalibration of everybody's brain. Beating Michigan is no longer, is that the end-all be-all still for fans, or is winning a national title the end-all be-all for fans?
Oh, I still think it's winning the national title. Like, if you If Ohio State and Michigan play at the end of the season, which they do, although I hope that stays that way. I kind of like it there. But then again, I can kind of see it moving earlier in the year because of the playoffs. And now because of the way the Big Ten set up, that they're going to take the top two teams for the championship, which is, although who knows, Indiana could find their way in there now, right? Indiana 7-0. If you look at ESPN and they look at the playoff picture right now, Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Those are your byes. So 5, Texas, 6, Miami, 7, Tennessee, 8, LSU, 9, Clemson, 10, Iowa State, 11, BYU, and 12, your friends from South Bend, Notre Dame. So you'd get Texas, Notre Dame in the first round. You'd get Miami, if it ended today, right?
Yeah.
Miami, BYU, Tennessee, Iowa State, and Ohio State would get the winner of LSU Clemson in Columbus.
You had me at hello. Like, that sounds awesome.
Again, if I'm reading this right, which is as if you look at the playoff picture according to ESPN. So, you know, and then Oregon ends up with the winner of Notre Dame, Texas. Penn State would get BYU, Miami. So
that'd be a fun one. That would be a real fun one. We're trying to effort the legend Tim May. We are in the midst of efforting. So we will see what we can do with that one.
What's the temperature in Columbus right now? Because if it's warm, he's playing golf. It's always, let's see, it's 59 here, which it's always 10 degrees warmer in Columbus, right? So that's 60, almost 70. He's probably playing golf.
Should we call the links? We should call the golf course and have it paged.
Where are we calling, though? Which course?
I have no idea. I don't even know which one to call. If anything, we should call Moose. Moose would get him on the phone for us.
Well, you know what? You're right. I should probably just...
he's the best. So, I mean, that's what you signed up for, though, in this 12-team playoff. And you've got all these teams. And on top of the fact that the portal has smoothed this over to where now we are having discussions where BYU is in the mix. And we are talking about how it's Clemson versus LSU. And you have these big arguments because some of the best quarterback play is coming from different places. I mean, Dylan Raiola is legit if you have not seen him play. He's really good. And that's the kind of guy that, like, if you're a team in 2025 that's going to be looking for a quarterback, dude, you're circling that kid because he can whip it. He can fling it all over the place. And he's throwing to wide receivers that aren't of the quality that you're seeing from Ohio State or aren't of the quality that you're seeing at Bama or LSU or that stuff. And he can fling it. I love watching Raiola. I mean, even Penn State with Drew Aller flinging it all over the place. I mean, that offense is starting to look a little better.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a couple phone calls. If Tim's not going to join us, we'll talk to you about college football because I love it.
Hell yeah,
Robert's in Parma. A lot of calls from Parma right now.
All right, Robert.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Well, it's the best suburb of Cleveland. That's why.
Of course, it's gigantic. And the view of the city from Parma, I think, is outstanding.
Quality on any north-south street, yes.
Yes.
Quality of suburbs goes hand-in-hand with most bowling alleys.
That's true. And now look to your left, you'll be able to see the new dome. It's great. Keep going. Sorry.
You're fine.
It was too easy.
Quick question for you. I might be wrong on this one, but don't the conference championships have something to do with the playoff seeding as well? So, like, Ohio State and Penn State could not both have a bye.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Yes.
You know what? You're right. I was just looking at the standings.
You got the couple.
Oh, sure. I keep doing that, too.
Yeah, we're all still learning. We're all still learning and figuring this out.
Although think about that. How big does Indianapolis become then, right? And by the way, Indiana could sneak in there right now too. I got to look at the rest of their schedule, but it's fun, isn't it? Great. Like to think that
all of those.
Yeah.
Sorry, all of those conference championship games are almost going to basically be de facto playoff games.
They're going to matter. It's going to get you a bye.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
About this, so.
Great point. Glad you brought that up. Thank you, Robert. Good point. All right, let's stick in Parma. Bill's over there. Hi, Bill. How are you,
Bill?
Hey guys. Great discussion, but my question always is with the Big Ten is that the schedule is too light. I mean, you know, the fact that Indiana is undefeated, does that mean they're good or they haven't played anybody? And the fact that Ohio State now has lost to Oregon, who else on their schedule this year it has even a remote chance of beating them? Maybe Penn State, maybe? And so what does that mean? That means nothing. And so, I mean, the lightness of schedule for Ohio State to get in now compared to a SEC team is night and day. And so I don't know how you could – it's like apples and oranges. I mean, who are they playing? How do they get in? They're not going to play anybody. So, you know, I've had trouble with the Big Ten for a long time because it never really made sense compared to the SEC. That's my opinion.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
I mean, the SEC will throw a couple cupcakes in there, too. Like, it's not like they're – I mean, Alabama's got a couple wins that you look at and you're like, okay, congratulations on beating Sister Mary of the Poor and Lonely. Good on you. You know, I mean, for all of those, like, yes, like Maryland, I mean, that was a pretty good game that Indiana was able to beat. They beat UCLA. UCLA isn't the best. Northwestern has been tough, but still, they beat the snot out of, I forgot they beat the snot out of Nebraska earlier in the year as well with the 56-17 or the 56-7 win.
All right. I stand corrected only because I looked at, I was looking at ESPN and I did it the normal way you would do it. And you forget about the format. So if I'm reading this right, then. After week eight, I know I'll hurry up here. Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and Iowa State are your top four teams right as of right now. So they're looking at buys. Okay. So I apologize because I looked at it the other way and I was looking at ESPN and I was just doing it by standings the way you looked at it. So that would mean, according to USA Today, the opening round of the playoff would have Penn State against Boise State. Penn State would be the home team. Ohio State would host Notre Dame. Ohio State would be number six. Notre Dame would be 11. Texas and Clemson would be the next game. Texas would be the home team because they're the seventh seed. LSU and Tennessee. So I apologize for getting that a little bit mixed up there. So sorry.
We're all learning, man. It's all new. So, it's all good.
But it's fun. I still think it's great. So so Craig and Canton, I know that's why you were calling, so I just want to make sure you knew that. So all right, let's come back. I believe Kevin Stefanski is about set to reach the mic, and we'll talk at the podium. We'll hear what the Browns have going on, especially at left tackle. And don't forget, quick predicts coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Or coming your way shortly as well. So we'll keep you an eye out there. Saw Jerome Ford on the practice field today. Found his way out there, according to multiple reports. So, yeah, you know, they're getting healthier. They're getting healthier. Now, the other one, too, our buddy Scott Petrak put out here on the X, I expect DeJuan Jones to make his first start at left tackle in place of Jedrick Wills. So, he's not practicing today was Jedrick Wills, Jordan Hicks, and Ronnie Hickman. Jerome Ford resumed practice today and saying he expects DeJuan Jones to make his first start at left tackle in place of Jedrick Wills.
Let's see how he does. Is that concerning to you? It's a little concerning, but I just don't think he's. Yeah, I had such high hopes for him, but just everything seems. Is he injured? Is he? You know, he's not where we thought he'd be at this point in the season. But then again, nobody on the offensive line is really. Even the guys that we absolutely love and think are going to the Hall of Fame. It's been tough. You can't play all five positions at once.
All right, the Friday Injury Report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. Your game status is here. Wyatt Teller is questionable for this game. Jerome Ford is out. Ronnie Hickman is out. Jordan Hicks is out. Jedrick Wills out for this game. So you will be without left tackle Jedrick Wills for this game. Again, Wills out, Hicks out, Hickman out, Jerome Ford out, Wyatt Teller questionable.
I hope they have Teller back this week.
I hope they have Teller back too.
Yeah.
Michael Dunn has done a really, really nice job. Don't get me wrong in any way, shape, or form, but boy, there's a reason Wyatt Teller's a Pro Bowler.
I'm just looking at the points that Baltimore's been able to put up over the last couple weeks here. And
their offense hums, man. Yeah. You can't get around it. That offense really hums. And what has happened this year is you're seeing, once again, Lamar Jackson getting more comfortable into that offense and turning into more of a pocket passer who can run. Like, it is nuts to watch him and how he's operating in there. We'll see. Zay Flowers may not play in this game. Same thing with Marlon Humphrey. John Harbaugh has kind of danced around the question all week, so something to keep an eye out when you get the Sunday injury report. But it definitely,
think about this. Think about this stat. Awesome. The Browns haven't reached 20 points all season. Baltimore's never gone under 20 points this season.
We'll see, man. We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
I don't blame him for not saying who's starting, though. From a coach view, from a strategy point of view, I don't think it's that big a deal if he, like, we might want to know as fans and just like, oh, okay, this is who's starting at left tackle, but. I mean, what good does it do him to tell anybody? Also, I kind of like the fact he's been asked about the play calling because Ken didn't. The question that came out about Ken Dorsey calling the plays, Ken made it sound like it could be week to week. But when the head coach steps up there and goes, no, I envision him calling the plays for the rest of the year. I kind of feel like he's kind of stepped up and he's wearing the big boy pants on this. I don't know if this is on him truly looking in the mirror, the reflection, if this is the front office or ownership saying, hey, you know, you want to save this, you might want to let him call the plays or let somebody else go. We brought him in here for a reason.
You're not going to know until the tell-all book is written.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's kind of where it all is. It's all speculation until somebody either writes the 5,000-word tell-all piece or the tell-all book is written. Like, who forced whom to do what? We just know that there's a play-calling change, and we'll see if the offense looks any different and if the play sequencing looks any different, and we'll see anything from there because it's all a grand unknown.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll play quick predicts. You know you love playing that. And what do we do? How do you do it? It's so simple. You either go to X at CLE Talking Heads or you go to the phones, 216-474-0092. You will tell us the score of the Ravens-Browns game on Sunday and then what Monday morning's headline is. It's that simple. It's that easy. But before we do that, let's be generous.
92.3 The Fan is looking for a winner